I was trying to think of a message for Mother's Day, and I always kind of struggle with these typical, you know, Mother's Day, Father's Days, and trying to come up with something that everyone talks about. You know, you got Sarah, you have Hannah, and these other faithful moms throughout the scriptures, or Timothy's mothers and grandmother. And I was going through a list of mothers of the Bible, and I noticed there was actually one mom that was missing from the list. I was like, oh, I felt bad for this young lady, and here with this commentary had bypassed her. And I thought about how typical is that, because all the things that mothers do often get so overlooked by those around them. Just take it for granted. And the Bible talks about this young lady. Her name was Hagar, and typically, we don't think too much of her. She was Sarah's handmaiden. You have Sarah and Abraham. And God had promised Sarah and Abraham that he would have a child. And they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and waited, and waited. And finally, they decided to take their things in their own hands. And typically, I don't know about you, but when I decide to help God out, it usually doesn't work too well out for me. Because sometimes God just says, wait. Just wait. And I don't like to wait. And so Sarah had this brilliant idea. She goes, take my handmaiden, Hagar, take her and sleep with her and she'll have a child. And that way, Abraham, you have a kid and everything will be wonderful and perfect. Anyone who knows anything about human nature can see from a mile away, this ain't going to work well. But in the midst of their turmoil, in the midst of everything that was going on, they were desperate. And when we deal with things in a desperate way, as opposed to dealing with things in a faith-driven way, we get ourselves in trouble. But in Genesis chapter 16, I don't know if you have Bibles with you where you're at or one on your phone. But verse 1 starts off, it says, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she said, had an Egyptian handmaiden whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abraham, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go to my maid, perhaps I shall obtain by her. And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarah. And then Sarah and Abram took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into her, she conceived, and she saw that she had conceived. Her mistress became despised in her eyes. So Sarah has this great idea, right? Well, I'll fix everything. And Abraham was like, okay, yeah. I'll go along with this. And we all saw the result of this, right? We kind of expected what happened was Hagar got pregnant. And Sarah now despised, hated her handmaiden. And we look at this issue of motherhood and personhood, of being overlooked. I find it interesting, in this passage, Sarah refers to Hagar as just my maid. Now, it was that she referred to her by her name. If you go through this chapter, the only person who refers to Hagar by her name is God. God doesn't overlook. God sees and knows. And sometimes when we feel like what we're doing is insignificant, we don't play a major role, right? You ever had that place where you felt like someone just saw you as a means to an end? Maybe even felt like you've been used? God knows. And actually what I want to pull off of there is actually three things as Hagar and God interact throughout this passage. Because now Hagar's pregnant. She finds out she's pregnant. And Sarah's upset. And And he starts, Sarah starts dealing very harshly with Hagar. Actually, verse 5 says, "And then Sarah said to Abram, my wrong be upon you." Right? This was all Sarah's idea. She blames Abraham because Abraham went along with it. "Because my wrong be upon you. I gave you my maid for your embrace, and when she saw that she is conceived, I became despised in her eyes, and the Lord's judge between me and you." So Abram said to Sarah, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." And Sarah dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her presence. That in here, the bickering back and forth about poor Hagar, and Hagar's just kind of left on the sidelines. She's got no power. She's got no authority. And even at this, Sarah comes up to Abraham and says, "That maid." And he goes, "Well, she's yours. I don't want anything to do with this. You do with her as you would." And Sarah mistreated Hagar. And the first thing I can't help but notice is God is a God who sees what's going on. He sees this. Hagar is fed up with the abuse, and she takes off. And as she runs away, the Lord meets her. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, 'Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from, and where are you going?' She said, 'I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarah.' And the angel of the Lord said to her, 'Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand.'" The Lord saw what was going on. He saw her as she was fleeing, as she was hiding by this well of water, and she was desperate to find a safe place. And the Lord speaks to her. It says, "Hagar, I know what you're going through. I see it. I'm taking notes. I'm aware of what's going on." God is the God who sees us in the midst of what we're going through. Even today, in the midst of all the struggles we're going through, God sees and God knows. God isn't up in heaven just silently caught by surprise. He's the God who sees. In light of motherhood, moms, God sees all the things that you have done, all the small things, the things that go unnoticed by everyone else. God knows. He sees. Second thing is God knows. Verse 10 says itself, "And the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so they shall not be counted for the multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. She'll call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction." Not only is a God who sees what's going on, but God knows. He knows all the details. In this case, he goes, "Hagar, don't worry." There's a few times in Scripture where God has actually named the child. This is one of them. He goes, "Your child shall name, call him Ishmael. You're going to have this child." And I look down, and I know how all this is going to work out. Ishmael's going to grow, and he's going to have great families, and he's going to have great descendants. God knows how it all works out. God isn't this silent in all these things. He is aware in all the circumstances that we're in today. God already knows. Now, does God always share it with us? No. Yeah, I was like, wouldn't it be great if, you know, you get up in the morning, you check, you know, Facebook, and you find out what's, all the things you missed. And wouldn't it be great if God sends you a little text each day and say, "Look, I'm just going to let you know what's going to go on today." I thought about that. I thought, "Oh, that'd be great to know." And then I'm like, you know what? There's some days that I'd probably crawl back into bed if I knew what was going to happen. Right? I'm glad that God allows a little bit of a surprise. Because what we're called is not to know, but to trust in the one who knows. See, God says, "Stay with me." God says, "Obey me." God says, "Listen to me, because I know. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I know how all this works out. Stick with me. I don't need to know. I just need to know him. And God knows the plan he has for us. He knows the final date. I think one of the hardest things in all of this, I know for me, because I'm a guy who kind of likes to plan and likes to kind of know. So all this uncertainty drives me nuts. And so I was, you know, listening every day to the governor, and she's making her announcements and trying to lay down the plan. And it's changing all the time. And it brings me back to the place where in my prayer time, it's God, you know. You know how this is all going to work out. You know what it's going to look like on the other side of all this. You know, you can listen to all the pundits and everyone sharing, and they don't know nothing. But God knows. You know, I'm glad I serve a God who sees. He knows all. He knows all the things that no one else knows. He sees all the things that no one else notices. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows how all this will work out. And the last thing, he's a God who hears. In here, as God interacts with her, verse 13, it says, "And then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, 'You are the God who sees.' For she says, 'I have seen him who sees me.'" We have a God who hears us in the midst of it all too. See, this is, we talk about the difference between sort of a religion and a relationship. That my, I got to use the word relationship with God, right? It's not a religious thing. It's not a matter of jumping through the hoops. It's not a matter of if I just do the right things, I check off the list. That's sort of an empty religion. But what God calls us to is a relationship. That he is a God who sees. He's a God who knows. And on this last one, he's a God who hears us. He heard Hagar in her distress. Actually, fast forward 13 years from this point, we have Isaac being born, and they kick Hagar out. And Ishmael is about 13 years old, and they kick him out. And they were in a desert place, and Hagar cries out to God, and God hears. You are not alone. This relationship we have with God is not sort of this one-sided type of thing where, you know, we kind of just jump through the hoops, say certain things and do certain things. But we have a God who asks us to come and pour out our hearts to him, and he hears us. I can't help but think in, you know, this time and age where so many people are just isolated. They said one of the struggles that people are dealing with is loneliness. You know, I can't go to see my family. I can't go to work like I usually do. I can't go to the store. And I feel all alone. And I think one of the cures for that is knowing that God hears us when we talk to him. That pouring out our heart, knowing that he's never too busy. But God always hears. Always lends an attentive ear to what we're going through and what we say. What a blessing that is. There's an old song that says, "No one understands like Jesus." We have a God who understands and is touched by our griefs, who's touched by our fears. He knows these things, and he says, "Come, share it with me." I was talking to someone once, and they're like, well, you know, if God already knows everything, why do I have to even pray to him? And I always kind of struggled with that until I became a parent. Because how many times, as a parent, do you know your child is struggling? You know they're going through something. You may even know exactly what all the details are, but what do you want above all? You want them to come and tell you. You want them to share it with you. Right? The heart of the relationship. God's the same way. He asks us to come. And he promises to listen. He promises he's never too busy. That God gives us the time. What a wonderful relationship we can have with that. And Hagar, this mother who's kind of forgotten, who she's been caught up in the affairs, what's going on, and she doesn't have any control. She's just a servant, has to do what she's told, and she suffers the consequences from all these things. And yet God says, look, I know. I see and I hear. Folks, what else do we want from God? He bids us to come. And no matter what circumstances we're in, God promises to hear us, to know us, and to see us in the midst of all these things. He is faithful through all of this. God gives us mercies upon mercies in his faithfulness. So we turn to him as a God who hears, a God who knows, and a God who sees. What a mighty God we serve. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for the sunshine who's shining down on us this morning. Lord, I thank you in these uncertain times, Lord, you are faithful. Lord, you do not change. Lord, you're a God who asks us to come and pour out our hearts and souls and lives unto you, Lord. And you promise to hear us, to know us, and Lord, to see us. Lord, just help us to take advantage of that more and more. Lord, we're not alone. You will never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for who you are, Lord, in our lives. We ask this in your name. Amen.